Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, March 13, 2020. Some South Sudanese expressed their views on the formation of the new transitional government of national unity.
In fact, this has been a long-awaited expectation of everybody. We are happy and we hope things will change.
And some analysts in Juba say there is nothing new in the new government of national unity.
This cabinet doesn't have very many people which are new faces across the board, from the IO, from the government, and from the SOF, from the FDs. It seems there is a lot of duplications of the many faces that have been known across.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir issued a decree on Thursday appointing 34 ministers and 10 deputies in the long-awaited transitional government of national unity. In today's special broadcast, South Sudan in Focus reporters spoke to residents of Bor, Yei, and Juba about their expectations from the new government of national unity that will run the country for 36 months. We start with analysis from reporter Wake Simon Wudu, who sat down with Professor James Okuk.
Tanza, I did not manage to speak to Professor James Okuk, but I spoke to Abraham Kualinyuan, who is an assistant professor of political science and the dean of School of Social and Economic Studies at the University of Juba.
This cabinet doesn't have very many people which are new faces across the board, from the IO, from the government, and from the SOF, from the FDs. It seems there is a lot of duplications of the many faces that have been known across. And among the few ones that I could mention is the Beatrice, which is taking the docket of Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We have got also Madol Kachol, who is taking Ministry of Justice. We have got Losuba Wango, which is taking the Ministry of Federal Affairs, and we have Jospin Lagu, and as well as Aya Benjamin.
What are the strengths of these individuals?
Some of these individuals they might have their own strength and their own capacity. And, for example, we could be able to see into it that Aya Benjamin, who is the widow of the late Idris, I think, who died as a result of all this kind of thing. And I do believe that she knows that this country has caught the life of the husband. And I do believe that she will be among the people who will spearhead the transformation of how institutions work in this government as a result of paying back for her husband. Looking at people like Beatrice, also had been in the diplomatic missions for some time, and the fact that she's a woman, she could be able to understand how international politics work, and she could be able to revamp the entire system of national interests of South Sudan. And probably Jospin, who has a legacy, a fatherly legacy. She could be able to do things that will be able to reflect a national image, because she could be able to get a home advice from the father, I think.
Who are the old faces?
We had a number of good old faces. I could say it, almost 80% of the cabinet is our old faces from both IO and the SO and the FDs. But the most prominent old faces begin with the most known people in the government: Michael McQuinlewes, who took the information docket; Ilia Lomoro, who is also known to be one of the very outspoken minister. We had got a number of the people like Awut Nunukumba, who had just still come on board, and they had been in the government for a long time. We have got Onyoti Odigo, who had also been in the government for all this time. And we have got a number of people who had just been in the government from the IO, like Mabior Garang, who was a deputy minister, who has been appointed a deputy minister. And also people like Angelina Tench, who had also been very vocal in the government, even in the previous politics.
What is that these old faces can do in the 36 months?
Well, so far, I am not sure whether there is something much that the old faces could be able to do in the 36 months, because if these people had been in the government, most of them had been in the government since 2013 or since 2005, and they have not done much so far. We do believe that their presence in the government might be seen in the term of how each party is going now to pull their policies ahead and be able to compete, because now we'll have the IO all faces competing against the SPLM all faces. And as a result of that, people are racing toward election. And this election should make each of these old faces to be able to have something tangible that they could put on the table and bring to the people of South Sudan, that before you don't believe in us. But at this point, this is what we're able to perform in the last 36 months.
President Kiir kept ministers in the new government. What is your scorecard of these old ministers who have made it in the new government?
Well, I think President Kiir might be ready for a reform agenda, and as a token to the people who had been working with him to make sure that he remained in the position for the last few years, he has to award these people by giving them the ministerial position, so that if the new transition is going to come after the transition and there is going to be too much reform, where all people who have not been able to do tangible things will be able to be asked to step aside, President Kiir will be able to have the power to tell them, look here, I had rewarded you during the transitional period, and now it is the time for people to work for the people of South Sudan. So you don't have anything tangible that you had put as an agenda in your ministry, then you should not be the people who should be able to go post the transitional period. And as a result of that, these people are maintained as a result of their solidarity with the president during the hard time.
Who are the people you expected in this government and why?
Well, I don't have a specific person that I was expecting to come out of this government, but because of the pressure from the international community, I thought that the government, especially the key principals, were able to appoint some few people who are technocrat. I was expecting maybe to see some few faces from the diaspora who are known to have maybe a great impact in their area of expertise abroad. I was expecting to see people who are appointed from institutions of higher learning, like University of Juba, Upper Nile, people who are known to be key expertise in their areas and are technical people, so that now, even if that was supposed to be 5 or 10%, that could be the voice of the government to say, look here, this time around, we are going technical. We are not going psychopancy.
Reporter Lasuba Memo was on the streets of Juba busy asking South Sudanese about their expectations from the new government. Memo, what did some residents of Juba tell you about their expectations?
Thank you, Tanza. Reactions from the people have been mixed. Here are some of them.
In fact, this has been a long-awaited expectation of everybody. We are happy and we hope things will change, especially economically. We have seen the inflation has destroyed. Many people are in exile. So our expectation is let there be change in the social life, in the security, and every part of this country, there should be at least a repatriation of people back. So if they are willing to make what they promised to the people in the revitalized peace, I think it is going to be okay. It is going to be soon. But if they are continuing with deception, I think there will be no much change, as it has happened long time ago.
This government, I have doubt. Why? Because we are going to see 1 month or 2 months. If there is no way, if there are no services to the people, which means there are no government. Like now, we in Sudan, we are suffering. Because like now, there is no internet. You see, there is no fast internet when you want to make the research. There is no very fast internet.
The new government, we need some changes. We don't want to fall into the same trap that they had experienced, like things that bring war and something like that. We need development. We need to do something good for our country. Development, we need to concentrate in infrastructure, which is almost zero in our country. We need to promote health facilities, good health. We also want education system to be stronger so that we minimize expenses of transporting our kids to the nearby countries for education.
As time is running out, what I wanted is the unity of the leaders and the unity of the people of South Sudan to build this nation so that we go ahead with the development. In the shortest time, I'm expecting, of course, a lot to be done. For example, the youth, they are really suffering. We need the government to stabilize and create employment opportunities for the youth so that at the end, they feel that they have their country. What has happened? Not to repeat itself.
Leaders of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance have issued a statement questioning the methods used in allocating ministerial positions to its members. Secretary General of SOA, Lama Kall, says his group was supposed to get ministries of agriculture, higher education, and public service. Reporter Ding Magot has more for VOA from Juba.
The chairman of the National Democratic Movement and Secretary General of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, Lam Akol, says he is surprised that some of its members were nominated to be cabinet ministers in the revitalized transitional government of the National Unity, but had not completed the steps for the nomination process. The agreement to form the unity government was signed by representatives of five parties. Under the deal, each party is supposed to nominate a certain number of its members to the cabinet. Last night, the ministers were announced on the government-run South Sudan Broadcasting Channel. Akol says that caught his group by surprise.
We were sitting last night to discuss how we can allocate those ministerial positions among ourselves as a first step. Then the second step is for each party that has got a position to nominate the required person, and then we write a letter jointly to RJMEC and the president, giving them notice about our nominees. But unfortunately, before this exercise could complete, then the cabinet was announced, and then we were surprised to have SOA members in that cabinet without our nomination.
According to the agreement, SOA will get three ministerial positions and one deputy minister position. Akol says members of his group first needed to agree on the names to put forth before they were announced. He also says the SOA informed the government delegation that it had problems with the assignments of certain ministers.
So we were not quite clear which ministries were the replacement. So we went to the government delegation to find out what are the ministries that are supposed to go for SOA. We were surprised to hear from the government delegation that actually a nomination has been submitted. And we were still discussing the matter. Well, we made our investigations today, and we found out that there were two people who did so, and we are going to take the necessary steps to correct this, what I can call a breach of trust.
Akol says the SOA agreed to the unity government with the understanding that the problem on the selection of ministers will be handled soon afterward.
We signed it because we were convinced that it provides the minimum required condition for reform in the country, and that after 3 years there will be elections that will lead to the democratic era that we have been waiting for a very long time.
Akol says the SOA still has those hopes, but accuses what he calls the promoters of the status quo of trying to frustrate the political reforms that are needed for the country. Akol says his group will continue to do the political work necessary and persuade South Sudanese to join the reform agenda in the next period. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, residents express their feelings about the formation of the Transitional Government of National Unity. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Can you share an inspirational quote and where you heard it from?
Heavy rains are a reminder of challenges in life. Never ask for a lighter rain. Just pray for better umbrella. I just came across it while I was reading something on social media.
This quote I just added from a church. The father was like, "For those who seek, always find. And so fight endlessly for what you want for the future."
Friends are like buttons on the lift. They either bring you down or take you up. I heard it while I was in secondary school and it stuck since then.
وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah will have solution to whatever problems. It is from the Holy Quran.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
We have a special announcement for our listeners in Juba. Effective Monday, March 16 at midday in Juba, VOA Africa will change its frequency from 93.5 FM to 93.6 FM. The Juba-based SAD Institute has written several papers on the issues affecting South Sudanese since conflict broke out in 2013. David Monodanga visited the institute to gauge the moods of analysts at the institution on the new cabinet appointed on Thursday and the challenges ahead of the 36 months.
Thank you, Tanza. I sat down with Niall Chitmamer, the researcher and policy analyst at the SUD Institute here in Juba. I asked him about the expectations of South Sudanese from this new government, and this is his answer.
I think what people are expecting is for the new cabinet to hit the ground running, especially sending signal that the peace has arrived. And to do that, I think the president and the five vice presidents should, you know, hold a rally. It's starting here at the John Graham Solium Ground to tell the nation that we are here for peace and genuinely for peace. This will send a very positive signal to the general public that peace has arrived. I think this should be the first step. And of course, this should be followed with concrete actions on preferring for the return of the ID fees and for the return of refugees, especially beginning with the ID fees. This is very, very crucial. It will also send a message that peace has arrived, ensuring that all the forces are completely contained and, you know, integrated into one unit and acting as one national armed force of South Sudan.
Let's look at it from the perspective of the common man. What do the people of South Sudan want?
What they want simply is peace. But of course, you know, if you pronounce peace, it cannot just come. It needs concrete steps to be taken, and they should begin with the public messaging by the leaders, holding rallies across the country, beginning here in Juba, going to Wau, going to Malakal, going to other places, and telling them that this time we really want peace, we want to transition to stability. If they fight again, it will be the fourth time that they have fought. 1991 was the first time, 2013, and then, of course, 2016. So people have known that these people, they work together, and then they disagree and they fight. So they need to really change these mindsets of the people there.
Service delivery has been the cry of the majority in South Sudan. How prepared is this new cabinet as far as service delivery is concerned?
I don't think the cabinet is prepared. And the reason I say I don't think it is prepared is because nothing is new anyway. And we'll actually have a heart attack if we expect too much from the new cabinet. But for me, The real fees will come with service delivery. We need the roads to be really extended to villages across the country. In fact, if we have tarmac roads, people will interact more through commerce and it will be better helpful. So roads, clinics, hospitals, medical facilities, schools, electricity, all these services are really very important. We need them. The people should get the services.
The country is still experiencing the aftershocks of hyperinflation. Where will this government get money to sustain the huge cabinet and legislature?
So this government can, of course, get money in different ways. Of course, unfortunately, now the oil prices, global oil prices have now gone down. I think it's a bad signal already. But of course, oil is the main source of revenue for the government of South Sudan. And I think the international community should really finance this piece. They should also chip in. We can also get money through taxes here. We can really close the loopholes. We can strengthen the institutional safeguards of the National Revenue Authority. And we can collect more money actually from different sources. So the issue of money shouldn't be an issue, actually. We have a lot of sources to get money. It is the mismanagement. I think that is the problem.
What will make this cabinet more successful than the previous one?
So this cabinet will be successful if they work as one, as one team, and not parties. The president should consult the vice president, and they decide together. It's a collegial presidency, so in a way. If they don't do that together, it will be a source of conflict already if they don't consult each other. And then, of course, managing that is a problem. You know, normal political dispute shouldn't be a source of violent conflict. It should just be handled politically like the other countries are doing. Yeah, so I think it's one of my worries that they may disagree and again and then take us back again to war. But they should learn from the experiences of the past. The most important thing here is actually organizing a successful election. Fair and free election is what people want, so that we can elect the leaders we want. If they can convince us again, of course we can elect them. But they should organize a credible election at the end of three-year transitional period. It's very, very important, and it will be the one of the indicators of the whether the peace agreement has been successful or not.
Thank you so much, Tit Mamer, for taking off time to speak with us for about these important issues.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Reporter Dengai Deng was on the streets of Bor since morning asking residents of the town about their expectation during the transitional period. Deng, what did the people of Bor tell you?
Thank you, Tanza. Reactions of the people in Bor is different. Here are some of the answers I got from the people on the streets.
I expect them to improve in security because, like, our neighbor Buma, which are now fighting, so we couldn't want that fighting almost since the traditional government was formed. So we don't want that fighting to continue anymore because we are still resuming our peace. So we shouldn't be in insecurity again since we are office in South Sudan.
I'm not expecting so much that this new government will do, not so much. Well, this government, as you can see, it's an accommodative government, a government that came to accommodate the disgruntled. You know, those who went against themselves, who went against the people and fought, and now they have agreed to sit down and eat while they are sitting instead of fighting, you know, the people. So it's a government that will come to help themselves.
We are happy for the formation of the national government unity, which has been formed yesterday. And we are expecting that those who have been selected ministers, we are hoping that there might be change in our country. The country will not be like before. So like economic, the way how the life has been there before, we are hoping that there might be change.
Yes, what I'm expecting from our government is I need our government at least to reduce this economic crisis. Like now, dollar has been high for so long, people has been affected for that. I need my government at least to reduce these things like dollar so that at least people will survive.
I'm expecting the government to improve our economy because in the last 6 years,
we have been experiencing the challenges in the economy. As we know, in the market, the prices have raised up due to war. So with this current government now, we are expecting them to improve the economy.
Yei River County is one of the areas hard hit by the conflict that erupted in 2016 in Juba. Many of the residents of Yei Town took refuge in Uganda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Earlier this week, this program reported on the problems facing refugees returning home from Uganda and DRC. Reporter Daniel Friede-Martin was on the streets of Yei asking residents of the town about the expectations from the new government in Juba. Martin, what were the highlights of your interaction with the residents of Yei?
Thank you, Tanza. The people whom I spoke to had very strong messages for the new government. Here are some of the responses from the residents who agreed to speak.
I am Boboya Losenya, a resident in Yei Town. We need to see South Sudan free from unknown gunmen. In the new transitional government, we want to see South Sudan free from corruption and the resources should be geared towards service delivery to the people of South Sudan.
My name is Mama Hawa. What I would like to put across so that also the government should understand is the rule of law should be in place. Since 2013, 2016, a lot of killings took place, a lot of bad things took place because nothing has been done on the side of judiciary. At the grassroots, we have been advocating at least for positions to women to go ahead. So we are requesting them, let them also look behind, more especially the issues of water, the issues of medication for the women. We need at least something to be done, more especially the girl child education has to be uplifted for the betterment of this nation.
I'm by name Banja Joel Nelson. I'm a resident of Yei River County. So we ask them that at least those roads are able to be put in place so that trade, you know, business could be able to boom, so that the economy of this country actually stabilizes. The first thing is the security. When you have security, you are free in mind. You know that nobody is coming to knock at your door. Nobody is coming to kidnap you in your country. And they should really have to make sure that when they trust themselves, we realize our expectation we want from them.
I'm Knight Susan Philip. I'm very happy that the new government has finally been formed. I'm pleading with our leaders to let the government invest much on health centers so that even those people in the rural areas, imagine women are dying on labor days and on labor hours. Sometimes it is very difficult because they are very far. And on the process of coming from the village up to the town, it is very hard and they end up dying on the way or even they lose their children. So we needed some provision of water at least to nearby places so that we can be able to access that also.
I'm called Lasuba James Francis, and we're expecting that at least the government should be in position to open more institutions, more especially the universities and colleges, even vocational training, school education is believed to be the success to every country. If you want to improve the quality of the citizens, of course, they have to be educated.
I'm Mary Boka Solomon, President Salva Kiir Mayardit and Dr. Riek Machar. My message to them is they have to recognize 3/4 of the population of this nation are women. If they don't see that women are put to the right place, they will never get any vote next time from the women.
These were voices of South Sudanese from Bor, Juba, and Yei on their expectations from the new government in Juba. That's our show for this Friday. We leave you with the song Jain Gidam by Richard Badabu. Listening to Richard Badagbo with the song Jain Gidam. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan Focus from the Voice of America.
ju fizere ko butu mulo do ya ju be bela ditane na mahalita zere ko butu mulo do ya ju be.